Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, 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 yo. Phoenix in the house.
Yes.
Arizona.
How's everybody doing? Yeah, this is going to be a good show. This is going to be a good show.
Yes.
This is a good crowd. This is a good show. Baba Booey. All right. How's everybody feeling? Thank you for coming out.
Yep.
I assume that the majority of you guys do listen to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys? Listen to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast? Just. That's all right. Cool. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yes, you never know. For those of you who don't listen to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast or who've never heard the show, that's fine. Absolutely, positively, okay. We're glad to be here. We're glad that you came. My name is Michael Rapaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo.
Mm-hmm.
This is Gerald Moody.
Yeah.
Last name rhymes with duty. G. Monetti, the 2015 podcast co-host of the year.
That's for sure.
We won that award. We're proud of that award. And we're happy to be on the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast world tour. This leg of the world tour, we just got back from Vegas.
Yes.
Are you guys from Vegas who's clapping, or are you just like Vegas? You love Vegas. I don't understand it, man. I've been there, you know, I'd say probably maybe a handful of times, maybe 8 to 10 times. Since in the last 20 years, and I don't get Vegas. I don't understand Vegas. It is, to me, is anybody in here from Vegas?
I used to live there.
Okay, but you're from Vegas. Okay, I'm going to, since I'm just going to say, it's a shit box.
Right.
It is a shithole. It is an abomination. It's one of the world's, you know, what is there, seven wonders? Vegas should be 8. The fact that this is a consumption capital of the world, the fact that this place is still in business, that those backdoor crooked ways are still continuing, the fact that you walk around, every time I walk out of there, I'm sick. They pump that oxygen, and it's just a money pit and a scum hole,
yeah,
and degenerates, and everything is just Las Vegas is you know, we're heavy into fantasy football, you know that. Did the lights just get brighter?
Yeah, it just got.
I need to apply some more sunblock because that could like burn my skin. Do I look really? Are they really bright?
No,
but I learned that in Las Vegas, you can't play daily fantasy football, yet you could get a $5 tug job around the corner from the casinos.
I noticed that.
Fascinating, right?
I kind of like that, though.
That you didn't lose any money in fantasy football?
Fucking tug job around the corner.
$5! They could keep, for some reason, unsolicited. The first night we were performing there, you know, like, I didn't even ask. You know, they were like, you know, you could get a $5 tug job around the corner. I was like, well, I didn't, I'm just here to do a show. It didn't even cross my mind. And like, if I was going to get a tug job, I feel like I would want to spend more money.
Right.
I feel like, you know, it's one thing, you know, there's certain things you want to short shrift. A tug job is not one of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it'll pay off. It feels like that could somehow work against you and backfire.
Yeah.
It sounds good. Like, oh, wow. It's like you know, like a, you know, it's like a big meal at McDonald's. But I feel like there could be ramifications from a $5 tug job. Like, I'd rather spend the $7.50 or at least $10 on a tug job. And I don't know why you're telling me. I don't know if I had a look about me, because you had one person tell you that too. Like, they said there was a $10 tug job spot.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard of no shit like that.
You just were in Arizona, Vegas for the first time, right?
Yes.
Mr. Moody?
Yes.
Well, what is your impression of Las Vegas?
Like you said, it's kind of slimy, man. But I like the gambling and all that. Even though I don't fucking gamble, I like that.
Yes.
Shit. I like hearing the fucking beeps and all that.
The thing that I think is also fascinating. Everybody wants a tip. Everybody wants a tip for every basic thing. Now, I'm a tipper. I like to tip when necessary. Like, the cab is right there. I don't need you to get me that cab that's right there, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You're
whistle.
Not getting a tip. I could just go, yo, taxi. Instead, you go, yo, taxi.
Yeah.
And then you want $5. Get the fuck out of here. They would tip you for everything. Every single thing. And it's not just in the casinos. It's like part of the culture. Like, everybody thinks they should get a tip.
Before anything. Before the work.
Before the work. Like, we valeted the car. And the guy took the car, and as he was, you know, before he drove over, he said, you know, I work for tips. I said, motherfucker, you haven't parked the car yet.
Yeah, you ain't do shit yet.
Do something, and then maybe, like, if the car comes back unscratched, then maybe we'll give you a fucking tip.
Yeah.
Not just to take the car there and...
Arrogant motherfuckers, man.
It's just a shiesty shithole, and they're looking for suckers. I resent that.
Yeah.
I know that I have a sucker face. I know probably the fans of the Iron Rapper, I talk about it. I have a face. It's been a lifelong thing that I've struggled with. There's something about my resting face. You know, like people have a resting bitch face. I have like a resting sucker face. Like, I could take advantage of you. Like, I don't know what it is. I think that's why I sort of overcompensate with, you know, my disposition. But there's something about my face that people think is just like asshole. And, inside, I don't feel that way.
Right. But you look...
like an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I could take this guy for everything he's worth. How you guys doing over there? Good? Good? Everybody's good? All right. If anybody... I'll talk about that. Fantasy football, I lost my fantasy... I'll go league by league. I'm in this money league... With a bunch of like music business people, and I won that league, which was good. And then I'm in this charity league
that Alice in Chains, what's the guy's name from Alice in Chains? Jerry Cantrell and Duff from Guns N' Roses, and it's charity. There's no money. And I played Rich Eisen, and he beat me. And then in the Stern League, it's still going on. So what I was going to ask is if, don't interrupt the show like a fucking lunatic, but like in maybe like 8 or 10 minutes, somebody could tell me if Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton, how they're doing in the game. Because that's my Stern League, and I'm playing Scott the Engineer. he's like a low key player, so I don't really mess with him. But that's the league that means the most, in fantasy.
It's a low scoring game right now.
So good. No, that works for me because he has. I'm done because I don't want to alienate the non fantasy football people. But that fuck Aaron Rodgers, he ruined it for me. Aaron Rodgers killed me today. I'm going to bench his ass. I don't care. That'll get you benched. I'm benching his ass. It's already done. They were like, well, you can't, you know, what if the matchup next week? I don't care. I have resentment to this fucking guy, man. It's too much. Like, just be sufficient. Just be a pro. Just be a pro, man. I don't care what you did 8 years ago. Is everybody in here Cardinals fans?
Wow.
Good. No, some? But is anybody the...
Brooklyn? Boston?
All right. I said Cardinals. I don't want to hear your fucking life story.
Were.
I said Cardinals fan. I didn't say it like the Seahawks or the Chargers. So, yeah, that's where it's at with the fantasy. We were driving today, so I wasn't able to get fully emotionally engaged in the game today. And then this week we have the third and final round of the debates. And we learned when we were in the middle of the country not to talk politics.
Yes.
I don't know, remember where it was. It was either Minnesota, but like we started with some political shit, and people came to see our show, and like we got a couple of like hisses and shit, and I was like, you could fucking leave.
Yes.
It's our show.
You could bounce.
You could get the fuck out of here. But I was told that is sort of a thing, like when you're doing a show, unless you're like at a rally, like at public things, you don't talk about politics and religion, which is not really, you know, things that we really delve into too much, except for this political season. And not to get into the politics of it all, because as we said, as we learned, it did get, like, there was just a vibe. Like, I can't remember what we said or what we brought up, but it was just a vibe. Like, it got a little bit like, this could turn bad.
Yeah.
And like, it could, like, you know, like, people started, like, you know, like, shifting around.
Yeah,
and,
hell yeah.
Like,
we got scared.
But this Wednesday is the third and final installment of the debates. And I don't really care who you're voting for. It's not my business to discuss here at the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast, live from Stand Up Live in Phoenix.
Yeah.
but I will say this. One of the more disappointing things about this campaign is one of the things that Donald Trump did is that collectively, I think men and women can agree that he single-handedly forever took the fun out of saying the word pussy.
Yeah.
I don't care what side you're on, but you can never say pussy in any context anymore without an asterisk. It's like it's like we're in the steroid era of pussy. You can't say, yo, that guy's a pussy, I'm going to go get some pussy. You certainly can't ever say, I'm going to grab her pussy. It's just every single context of that word, which is like, you know, like obviously we throw around F words and shit and stuff like that. But that's like more of a special curse word. Like, first of all, it's derogatory to women, you know, and like men, you know, it's like if a man calls a man a pussy, you know, those are fighting words. Yep. And you know, you don't want to use that word around women because, you know, it's just disrespectful and all that stuff. But whatever context you choose, however you like to slice and dice it, I don't care who you're voting for, you do know that he's taken the fun out of saying pussy.
Yeah. That's for sure.
And I resent that.
Yeah. That was our word.
Yeah, for a long time. We have to take back the pussy.
Yeah.
We have to take back control of it because it's not fair. He shouldn't take away the fun from everybody. That's like sort of like, you know, you pull that out of your pocket curse word. Right. You know, it's not like an everyday curse word. I don't know who's moderating the debates on Wednesday, but I feel like the first one, who did the first one?
Lester Holt.
He looks like his face is like, he looks like he's got a mask. His face doesn't look real, Lester Holt.
He shouldn't be doing it. It should be an authentic black man.
Like, who would you say would be, like, for the third and final installment, because you know, again, I don't care who you're voting for, it's going to be hot. It's going to be hype. It's going to be wild, that third and final installment of the debates. You know it's going to be tenuous. Because shit, like, Trump is like, fuck it, I'm going to burn this shit down. If I'm going down, everybody's coming down with me.
That's right. And we know, he's from New York.
Yeah,
he's
just so you know.
Yeah, he's one of our guys.
Just to tell you something about Trump, okay? If you're from New York City or the tri-state area, we've seen Trump on TV our entire lives. Like, in whatever form, whether he was just a real estate dude, and then he had a building, and then he became, you know, Donald Trump, and then he was like, you know, this. We've seen him.
Yes.
And that New York slick talking shit, sort of like what I'm doing right now, we've seen it, okay? It's a dime a dozen where we come from. So this guy, don't be fooled by the quick talking shit.
Yeah.
Cause I know nothing about politics. I could beat the shit out of Hillary in a debate, just on that slick talking New York shit. They don't do it so much now, but in the 80s and the 90s, like a three card Monty guy, you know, like they're doing card tricks, and then his friend diverts the attention. Like
that's Giuliani.
So, like, Trump is like, $5, you want to play? Yo, we could get in this $5. Dude, put your $5 on it. He's doing shit. He's fucking making the ball disappear. And then you're like, yo, look at that.
Yo, what up? What's over there, yo?
So these guys, we know that shit. That slick talking shit. Because Giuliani, also, don't be fooled. He's not senile. He's a former mayor, corrupt, mob-tied, meatball sauce on his tie.
Yep.
He ain't senile. He's like, oh, she wasn't there at 9/11. Motherfucker, you see the pictures.
Yeah.
She's right there. Yeah. She was there. I don't care what you think about her. Don't try that shit.
Yeah.
So, like, that doesn't fly. Like, in New York City, the five boroughs, which is a very small place, we're not impressed with all that bullshit.
For sure.
Trust me. We want to fucking take their citizenship away from New York. We don't want them back. We're ashamed of these fucking guys.
Yeah. Word up.
New York City. These guys are making us collectively look bad. The two of them. These three-card Monty.
Slicksters.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Now he's saying he wants a drug test because she's pumped up.
Yeah.
See that language?
Yeah, that's our shit, man.
I got to admit, see, like him saying Hillary was pumped up, that just sounds funny. Like she's pumped up on something. That's that New York shit.
Yeah.
We know what it is. See, don't be fooled. That New York fast talking, lock her up. You can't get a word edgewise on her. If it was another new, like, that's why, again, I don't care. Bernie Sanders, see, he's a Brooklyn Jew.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to out-talk Bernie Sanders.
Hell no.
See, that would have been a debate. That would have been a debate. Shit, these debates have been good, but if you had Bernie Sanders up there
with
his
balance.
Suit on and his New Balance.
Yes.
And, like, he would have been pulling out, like, tissue, blowing his nose and shit. That would have been a fucking debate. Yeah. Like, Hillary should have just, like, just to get that. Now, you talk about must-watch TV. As good as these would have been, Bernie would have been fantastic up there with him. Bernie knows the deal. Mack Weldon. It is hot. But today, when I landed,
in the heat. I was wearing my Mack Weldon boxer briefs and a Mack Weldon t-shirt. Made Pima cotton, soft ass Pima cotton.
Soft ass.
Soft ass Pima cotton. MackWeldon.com is another proud sponsor of the I Am Rappaport podcast. Mack Weldon socks with personality, without personality, soft quality underwear, t-shirts, boxer shorts, briefs, boxer briefs, long sleeve t-shirts, well made New York company. How are you enjoying your Mack Weldon products, G Monetti?
Yo, when I put the boxer briefs on,
yeah,
I like how the Pima, the softness is around my hips.
Right.
My loaf is tightly tucked in.
Uh-huh.
So it makes me feel like I got some exotic shit on.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even feel like you got anything on at all. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah.
If you go to Mack Weldon, MackWeldon, and you punch in the promo code Rappaport, RAPAPORT, you get 20% off.
Damn.
Not 2%, not 5%, yeah. Not 15%, 20% off your purchase. MackWeldon.com.
That's a good deal.
Yo, I am so particular about underwear, socks, and t-shirts. The I Am Rappaport podcast, we copywrote soft ass t-shirts. We invented that.
That's right.
When I say soft ass t-shirt, I fucking say it. I mean it.
I mean it.
A lot of people that are listening have I Am Rappaport soft ass podcast t-shirts. So when I tell you that Mack Weldon has soft, well-made, well-manicured,
that's right,
comfortable products, check it out. MackWeldon.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
How's everybody doing in the back?
Yeah.
You guys at the back. Good? I'm going to take some questions. A lot of fans in here.
Hardcore.
Who got any questions? I'm just drinking my ginger ale. You don't want to see me on anything else.
Yeah.
I was going to wear my nose strip because I'm so dried up from the Las Vegas, the smut. Oxygen. They say they pump oxygen. I don't know what kind of oxygen they're pumping through there, but it dried up my snot box. It's all fucked up.
There's a question right there, sir.
Okay, yeah. What's the question? Yeah.
Who'd win the debate, Trump or Bill Clinton?
You brought me a nose strip.
Trump or who?
Bill Clinton.
Trump or Bill? Again.
Trump.
Again. Trump. Trump is because of that. That yeah. pacing, that New York pacing. I mean, you know, he's winning it on style points. He's not, you know, winning it on necessarily what he's saying, but the style points go a long way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he would win. You need a New Yorker to take down a New Yorker. Like, you got to have, like, a Chicago dude or some Boston politician. Like, it's got to be a fast talker. I'm telling you, this guy's a diverter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why he's a good talker.
Why he's there.
That's why he's there. Is that a hand raised all the way in the back? Mm. Go ahead.
Why did the New York point guard die?
Why did the New York point guard basketball. Gerald can answer that question. I think because the rest of the country caught on. The question was, why did the New York point guard, it didn't die. That's gloomy.
Right.
Fuck, man. Shit.
Yeah.
The last great one was probably Stephon Marbury, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. It's
it died.
Where
he's
are
right.
you from? Shit.
Yeah, motherfucker.
I know. He's like,
don't shit on New York out here, B.
You know, we got to go see last night. We got to go see Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. We saw his show, and he's doing his one man show again.
which he did all over the world and on Broadway, and it's like a theater about the size of this. And then we were backstage chilling with Mike.
Yes.
And Moody, you never met Mike Tyson before.
Never met him.
And he's got such a calm, cool disposition.
And he's from my neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Right. You had a conversation with him.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was great, man. Mike Tyson, we was talking about Brooklyn that we know, and now that
you have people in common, you know people that know.
Of course, man. He was a terror in Brooklyn, man. He was stick up kid.
Speed, like you knew the name Mike Tyson before.
Yeah, like in eighth grade, like he was notorious for like taking your fucking sneakers and shit. Like, you know, 85, 86, everybody got their fresh Adidas on and Lee's, and Mike Tyson was notorious for taking that shit.
Did you tell him that last night?
No.
No. You don't want him to have a flashback.
Yeah. Don't take my Timberlands, no. But he was known for that in Brooklyn. Just like, man, Mike was scary back in the days.
Yeah, he's cool now.
Yeah, he's...
He cooled out, but there is that little button you just don't want to puss.
You could see the fire in his eyes.
Yeah, you just don't want it to go the wrong way. But he's so calm and chill, and he's like not... I was towering over him.
Yeah.
He's like not a big guy, and you're like, yo, this dude used to be the baddest dude in the world.
Yeah.
And like he's like 5'9"?
Yeah. 5'9".
And then like, you know, he's still in good shape, but he's like a little, you know, like he's a little child. Like, well, he doesn't even look like if you didn't see the tattoo on his face, you could be like, man, fuck you to this guy. If
you don't see him, he sounds like a Brooklyn Jew.
Yeah. He has that, a soft voice. You know, like a Brooklyn. He's got that old school.
If you don't
school.
See him, he's a Jew.
Yeah. Except for he's Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
When we say these Brooklyn Jews and all these things, don't feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because that's what I am. I'm a New York City Jew.
I grew up with Brooklyn Jews.
Yes. It's all,
it's
you know.
It's family.
It's a melting pot. You know, and it's I think, you know, in this politically correct environment that's getting into, what's that? Yay Jews. I thought you said nay Jews.
Yeah, I'm a Jew too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Gerald just found out. Your
DNA or Ancestry.com. Said I got a little peace in me, man. Shalom, motherfucker.
Now, how did you take this test?
You spit in the fucking cup,
and then it comes back, and told you what? It
tells you percentiles, of course, Africa, and then it gives you percentiles of a European Jew, and I'm like 9%.
I don't see it. I just don't see it. But I guess I believe that what you said is true.
Yeah, hell yeah. Motherfucker.
I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
You don't see it.
We also in Vegas, we had a good time in Vegas. We got to go see the Golden State Warriors play the Lakers.
Yeah. Damn, look at money.
All right. We didn't get to see them, so I don't have an anecdote about the Suns.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, he's talking about the Suns?
Yeah, he's like, I said, we went. I was just telling you about my experience. Did you go to... The Suns weren't playing. If they had been, I don't have nothing against the Suns.
They almost won the championship.
Yeah.
But Michael Jordan put a kibosh on that. Yeah, that's the truth, motherfuckers. They were good, though.
They were very good.
Yeah.
And then the Steve Nash team was great. Yeah, Kobe shut that shit down.
Yeah. It's just fucked up. Yo, hey, you listen, want to lose inside,
we're,
man.
We're Knicks fans. We got nothing to talk about.
40 years.
43. Yes, he played for the Knicks.
Yeah. He's a friend.
Hey, thanks for the interview. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We were glad to do it. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
All
right, bro.
You know, I think that was the first leg of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Yeah, the world tour.
Yeah.
And we like to go to the veins and the vessels and the intestines
of America.
Of the country. Anybody could play Paris.
Cannes.
Anybody could, yeah, Con.
Cannes.
Is it Con or Cannes?
Cannes.
Australia. Anybody could do that.
We're in Phoenix.
Yes, we're happy to be in Phoenix.
That's right.
Real Americans, real fans, blue collar. You know, why would we want to go to Italy?
Yeah.
I'd rather do the show in Milwaukee in August in 90 degree heat.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We love doing the live shows. For those of you, who don't know all the history, me and Gerald met in 1982 playing basketball. And Gerald was really good, like very, 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 very good. Like he played at the high,
enough.
No, tell him. Tell him.
All right, go.
No, he could play. He could legitimately play. Like, I wasn't as good. I played, but he could, go, at that other, that other level. The first time we sort of bonded, I remember this moment. We had a sleepover. No Bruno.
Please.
12, 13 years old. And we were in my apartment with my father, my brother, Eric, Professor Eric. I have a brother who's a professor, if you could believe that shit. It's shocking. We're so different. And Gerald, we were chilling. We were watching Video Music Box or something like that. And Gerald said, "Yo, I got to go take a dog shit." And then we've been podcasting, off
ever
record
since
ever
then.
Since. I know. I was laughing.
Jesus
he went
Christ.
In and took the dog shit, and when he came out, I was still laughing. I don't know why. I thought that was so funny.
Right. And here we are.
Yeah, and here we are. That was the start of a fantastic partnership.
Yeah.
Anybody got any updates on Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton? But how many points does Andrew Luck have?
Fantasy football, motherfuckers.
T.Y. No, I'm gonna look. Can I look? Because they could. I could. This is painful for me to do this. Motherfucker.
Damn, you got a lot of motherfuckers in here, right?
Listen, this is. There's no feelings in fantasy. Oh.
You lost.
Motherfucker,
man.
I lost.
You lost.
God damn it. Son of a bitch. Fuck.
You lost.
Ah, fuck, man. Fuck him, man. Aaron Rodgers. I lost him. Damn it. My record in fantasy in the Stern League is going to be... I'll probably dip down to second place. But that's not bad. I mean, listen, you're going to lose games when your star quarterback who's got a Hollywood actress, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah? Who you fuck with?
Olivia Munn. He doesn't know who she is. She's not a big name
like
that.
I don't watch
TV. She's in X-Men? Attack of the Show, X-Men. Yeah, no, she's an up-and-comer, an actress. Ride Along 2, right. There's Kevin Hart and Ice Cube and then some white chick. No one knows who the fuck she is. Since you guys are already just throwing questions, I'll take some specific questions. Anybody have any specific questions? All right, you, my friend, right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. My current feelings on LeBron James right now are actually pretty good. I'm pacing myself. obviously, I respect LeBron James as a basketball player. I get frustrated with the antics, and the shenanigans. You know, we went to go see the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, which I didn't even get to tell you our story because some fucking Phoenix Suns fan diverted my attention.
Yeah, money
but before,
right there.
Before... Calm down.
Word.
I'm fucking calm fucking down here, man. We're going to have, we'll answer all questions. We'll take pictures. We'll do all of that. But
all
just
that.
Calm down. We don't want mayhem in here.
Yeah.
Hold yourself together.
Hold your head, dude. All right,
so are you still crushed about the Warriors? Or are you kind of happy?
No, I'm not happy for that motherfucker. Cleveland. They don't know what to do now. They might. Are the Cleveland Indians still in the pennant race? 2-0, huh?
Oh.
See, they'll really get they'll get really fucking uppity if they start winning the Indians. Now they won't have anything to live for. I'll let Moody answer.
Nah, it's good. We saw him play in Vegas. They look good.
No, but did you think he should have stayed with the
goal? No, he should have stayed, but yo, he left. Fuck it. Now you gotta win.
Yeah.
You gotta win.
But like we watched them play last night, and like every time he made a shot, we were like, are you happy now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you okay now? That's a selfless team, but
he has to win.
They have to win.
This year.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to feel the same as it would have had they beaten Oklahoma and had Oklahoma beaten Golden State. I don't like the sort of they're the big four. I think they're going to be very, very good. So I would have liked him to stay and re-up one more time in Oklahoma because they had it.
Yeah, they were bad. I don't know why.
Sonics are so sad for them.
What? Yeah. It's terrible. What's the question?
Oh.
So the dead cat story is true. For those of you who don't know, my block is infested with stray cats. It's not my fucking problem. Now, I love dogs. My mom is a cat person. I don't like cats. I don't trust them. I don't feel comfortable around them. I feel like they're dangerous. I don't judge people that are cat people, but I don't not judge you. Okay? I don't feel comfortable around cats. Like, I feel like they're just, you just never know, you know? And I had one almost try to bite me once, and I was being friendly to the little motherfucker. You know, and they're scary, man. They're quick. You know, I'm not. And they're just, they make me nervous. You know, and everybody, who in here is allergic to cats? See, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, it's just a problem. Like, if you have cats and then, like, you know, like, there's half the audience that stand up live and can't come over. That sucks. Right. Like, if we wanted to have a party at, who has cats? Don't be a shy. You. Now, if we want, I said, you know, after party at your house, half the fucking crowd can't come.
Yeah. The fur all over the place.
But the point is that my street has stray cats, and before I went on vacation, I saw that there were kittens. I have these neighbors that they're weird. They're odd. They're hoarders and they're weird, and I don't know what their story is. And they think it's cool to have like stray cats in their front yard. They're like, oh, that's cute. They're feeding them. No, it's not cute, okay? Because I have this sort of like fine gravel shit that to these stray cats feels to them like kitty litter. So I come out in the morning, you know, to do whatever I do, like, I don't know, to get something or walk my dog, and I'm like, you know, I may not have my shoes on yet, and I stepped in cat shit. Oh. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, like, it's a cat shit, and it's like on your hands, and you're like, you don't know what to. So I say, oh, so that's the first problem with these cats. The second problem and biggest problem is I go away to vacation. I come back with my lady, 9 o'clock, we flew all day, you know, vacation, you always need a vacation from your vacation. I'm tired, you know, we're walking up, and as I'm walking up, I wanted to see just how much cat crap had accumulated in the yard.
Right.
So this is a true story, and she's like a couple of steps ahead of me, so we walk up, and I'm holding my bag, and I'm like, I'm looking this way, and in the front of my house, there's like a 2x4 fountain. Not a big one, like about the size of one of these tables, probably about the size of two of these tables. And we're walking up, and I'm looking this way because I'm like, let me see if the cats had, what kind of damage they've already done, because it's like we got to clean this out all the time. And she's like, there's two dead cats. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I'm like, what's going on? She's like, there's two dead cats in the fucking fountain. Not one. One would have been bad enough. Two dead cats in the fucking fountain. I don't play with dead animals.
That was a message to you, the neighbors.
That's like some Godfather shit.
They don't like your ass, man.
But why would they kill their own cats?
Just to let you know, we don't give a fuck about nothing. I love these cats, but I'm going to kill their ass.
We hear your podcast talking shit.
Yeah. Take this.
So we went in the house. I didn't look at the fountain, but I did Instagram it because you got to, you know, I was like, I have to show because this was disturbing to my soul, my whole, the fiber of who I am. There's two dead kittens, you know, not some, like regular size, in my fountain right outside my house. How do you get rid of them? It's 10 o'clock on a Sunday. Huh? No. You don't grab the pussy. That's good. That's a good line.
Oh. Yeah, buddy's good.
I like that. I don't know who would have gotten rid of them on their own. Like who does that not affect? Nobody. You would have went in there with a garbage bag and physically took it out. See, I should have called you. Cause that's not my thing. Like I don't mess with dead. Moody said he would have done it.
The garbage bag. See, he knows.
But you would have picked it up with your hand.
With the garbage bag.
Nah. It ain't dog poop. It's a dead cat. No, I started picking up the dog shit. That was another thing. I started using the shit bags because in Los Angeles, now some people are like, oh, you think you're so this and you know you're arrogant and all that stuff. In New York, I would pick up the crap all the time. And it's not because I'm from New York. It's because in New York, they have garbage cans. It's a law on every corner. Okay. In California, in Los Angeles, where I live, there's not garbage cans on every corner. There might be like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, literally blocks with no garbage cans. So, okay. So some, you know, you pick up the crap and then you're walking with a shit bag for essentially a mile.
Yeah.
Come on, man. At a certain point, like, I'm not picking this shit up and walking with it. Yeah. Okay, now, I have changed it a little bit. Sometimes I'll pick the shit up and then I'll put it in the street. Because I got the dog in one hand and a shit bag in another. God forbid you trip and fall. That's sort of a theme of my life is tripping and falling. And then you fall, like, with the shit bag on. Yeah. It's not like I'm doing it because I don't want to, but, like, who wants to walk around with a shit bag for a mile?
Yeah.
I don't. So you can understand that.
I understand.
You understand that?
Yeah.
You question over there? Yes.
Oh.
Thank you. That's a good question. How do you feel about being a Real Housewives super fan? I'll tell you this, because some pseudo like macho guys were like, oh, you watch that stupid, you do that. You know what the last conversation we had with Mike Tyson was last night? Mike Tyson is hard body karate Housewives fan.
Yeah.
If you could see the irony of having a fully detailed conversation with Mike Tyson that I had last night.
Yeah, I saw it.
No one else was speaking. It was just me and Mike Tyson going, well, what do you think about Dorinda? What do you think about this? Yeah, and so he loves, Mike Tyson loves the Housewives. So I love it. I don't know how it happened. I love those shows. I think they're fun. I think they're pure entertainment. And, you know, there are a lot of good things on TV, but there's a lot worse things on network television than you could be watching than the Housewives, because I just think it's pure entertainment. So I dig it. And Mike Tyson is also a big Real Housewives fan, and that is a fact, Jack. What's a question?
How did it feel in the movie to play fly on the wall to the whole situation when they were beefing with each other? And have you spoken to Tip since then?
Yes. So he's asking about Beach Rhymes in Life, the travels of A Tribe Called Quest. That was good. I mean, you know, we had a great time making the movie. I didn't know their interpersonal dynamics, you know, and the stuff with Tribe Called Quest, they're getting along or not getting along before the great Fife Dog passed. It was just brotherly. It was never personal. It was really brotherly. And, you know, when you're in a relationship that's sort of bigger than you, it superseded, you know, Fife and Q-Tip and Ali and Jarobi. They were sort of married to this thing called A Tribe Called Quest that there was no getting out of because of the fans. You always want it to be hunky-dory. It's like the Beatles or the Temptations or, you know, NSYNC. You know, just throw that in there. Just making sure you're listening. But groups break up. You know, relationships come to an end. But the fans just never wanted to let it go. So doing that movie, it was never sort of below the belt. It was really sort of just like family. So I'm proud that we were able to make that movie, and I'm proud that we got it done. And especially with his passing, you know, at least, you know, we have that on documented for the people forever.
Yo, the I Am Rappaport podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses is an award-winning company that makes the most ridiculously relaxing, supportive mattresses sold directly to the consumers. Sleek, new designed beds delivered directly to your doorstep in a small box. The Casper mattress is available in 6 sizes and had a 10-year full warranty. It's made and stitched right here in the United States of America. Free 2 to 5 day shipping in the United States and Canada. Casper is so confident in the mattress that it'll give you a 100-night free trial with the mattress. And if you're not happy, Casper will pick up the mattress for free with a full refund. Okay, it'll donate or recycle the mattress to somebody who really appreciates a great night's sleep. A great nap on a lazy afternoon. Go to Casper.com and save $50 using the promo code Rappaport. R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. That's Casper Mattresses. C-A-S-P-E-R. Casper.com. Check it out. I sleep on one every single night and love it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Can I get your feedback on the Ronda Rousey fight that's coming up? What are your thoughts there? I'm a huge UFC fan.
Yes, Ronda Rousey, the greatest of all time, who got her head kicked off.
Yeah.
Yeah. My problem with UFC, and I love UFC, is that they're so quick
to anoint
you the greatest of all time, because the sport is so young still. It's in its infancy stage. So, of course, if she's won 6 fights, 7 fights, she's the greatest of all time. And yes, she's a great breakthrough athlete. She's definitely one of the greatest breakthrough athletes for women. And she definitely brought female MMA to the mainstream, but to say that she's the greatest of all time and there's like 6 other female fighters is ridiculous. So I'm excited about her fighting. I wish that Holly Holm, you know, was you know, hadn't lost. So it'll be interesting. You know, I don't think it'll be. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about, you know, Ronda Rousey. You know, I like, but I think she's great for the sport, and I think she's a great role model. And obviously, she was a breakthrough athlete. But to say she's so great, great, great when she had, you know, how could you be the greatest of anything when you've done it 9 times? You know, I just think it's, but it's part of the branding, and it's part of, you know, it's a young sport. I sort of like, they don't really know how to, who would have imagined that sport would sort of supersede boxing? Because right now, boxing is in the toilet. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, so in the back there, you. Yeah, you.
In the spirit of debates, yes. Who's on the top of your list of all-time Coxman?
Coxman. Oh. Stickman. Oh, well, that's very it's hard to distinguish who the great
Jeter.
Stickman of. Oh yeah, Jeter. You could throw that name around, and you know, Prince, fantastic Stickman.
Prince, because he dressed as a lady. So
expound.
Think about a guy gets more women and he's dressed like a lady. So you have to be number one.
Well, right? It's easy to say. It's
you got a perm, you wearing high heels, and you got all the fly bitches. Yeah.
He was great. Prince was fantastic.
He's got a rugged motherfucker.
And he had length in terms of like his career was long.
I got Prince.
And the one thing that we you can't misunderstand, because this term Coxman, Stickman, a Stickman and a scumbag are 2 different things. Don't confuse the two. Okay, a Stickman, like the great Stickman of his generation, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Fantastic Coxman. And well, and why he is this, it's not about volume. Of course, he is, you know, the numbers are fantastic, the quality. But it's really that you'd be hard-pressed after all the wheeling and dealing young Leo has done, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody, particularly one of his women, that has anything bad to say about him.
Yeah.
That's the sign of a true stick man. Jeter, now this was sad. He ended an era, but he did it in a time and a place when the internet and the instantaneous Snapchat world wasn't around. He ran rabid through New York.
Yep.
The 90s and then the new millennium. And it was a sad day for all young aspiring coxmen when he got married, but that was his choice.
Yeah.
Of course, the great Frank Sinatra, fantastic run in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. Great stick man. So it's hard to say who is the number one stick man. You know, in athletes, you know, we have great young coxmen coming up. So it's hard to say. But that's a very, very understandable question.
Yeah.
And it's just, who am I to say that one stick man is better than the other? Matt
sure.
Dillon, the great Matt Dillon, a great coxman.
Yeah. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer in the 80s, the 90s, till now. Great work. His 18th birthday was at Studio 54.
Yep.
When it was Studio 54, God knows what happened that night. So, Scott Baio. Well, he fucked up when he really dropped the ball when he was at the, what it was, it seems so long ago, the Republican National Convention. I think his numbers are going to dip tremendously. Scott Baio had a fantastic run. Here's a forgotten, overlooked coxman, John Stamos. Excellent coxman. Excellent coxman.
Yeah. He don't got to open his fucking mouth.
No. I haven't seen, Stamos, John Stamos still looks like John Stamos.
Maybe. These guys are on the lower list.
We're talking about the elite of the
Burgess
elite. Burgess Meredith. One of the great coxmen of all time.
Yep. No doubt.
Sylvester
a
Stallone.
A lot of motherfuckers don't know that. That's why it's
a
hush.
Lot of people don't know that. He brought the stick man to the mainstream.
In the 40s.
40s, 50s, and 60s. And then he got married. But a tremendous stick man. And made his bones during a time when it was a very competitive climate out there. So, question over here.
Welcome to Phoenix, first of all, Mr. Rappaport.
Thank you.
Question, excluding Tribe's discography, for both of y'all, what's your guys' favorite album of all time?
Oh, man, favorite album? Oh, just hip-hop?
Yeah, hip-hop.
Man, favorite album of all time. I would say my favorite hip-hop album of all time would be Illmatic by Nas.
Yeah.
I think that album is 10 songs. It still holds up. Every song is great. Every song is fresh. The production is great. The rhymes are great. And it's just a fantastic record. Moody?
Nation of Millions, Public Enemy. Let me give you the mic.
I love what he does. It's like we were doing the show in Milwaukee. He just left the stage for 20 minutes. He's like, I was taking a squirt. I said, did you get your appendix out? Or like, he just leave the stage.
Favorite co-star of all time?
Wow, that's a good question. My favorite co-star of all time. Phoebe from Friends, that was good. let me answer the goddamn question. I'll tell you, break down a few. The most talented person that I've ever worked with, just pure talent. Like, not even what he was doing on screen, because I had the fortune of working with Eddie Murphy on a not great movie called Metro. But the stuff that he did in between takes, the conversations that we had, the way that he tells a story, the impressions that he would do just within a conversation, was amazing. And you know, he loves Robert De Niro. He would do lines from movies with him, and it was spot on and detailed, and just the way he speaks and like the way he tells a story and the way he tells a joke and the way he banters, he's the most talented person that I've ever worked with. Obviously, you know, working with De Niro and Sylvester Stallone on Copland was a great experience, and those guys are, you know, they're exactly what you think they are. They're, you know, Robert De Niro, when you get a chance to act with him, you know, you're like, you have to sort of come outside yourself because you're like, I can't believe I'm in front of him. It's like, you know, working with Picasso or like Van Gogh, like, you know, to be in front of him, and he's so riveting and he means so much to me, and his work means so much to so many people, and his face and his gestures are so iconic, and like he's got the little dimple and the mole, and yeah, you're just like, what yeah, the fuck, you know, like I was always very professional with him. He didn't know that I was like inside freaking out, but that was a big deal. And then Stallone, because of the Rocky factor, and I got to work on, I feel like every time I work with a really good actor, it's like, or most of the time, it's not a great movie. I worked on a movie called Lucky Numbers with John Travolta, which was really cool because of the Saturday Night Fever factor. And I got to do all my lines and all my questions from Saturday Night Fever, and he answered them all. So, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne watching him act, Samuel Jackson watching him act, even the guys from Justified, you know, watching those guys act, like those guys are really good. Timothy Olyphant and Walt Coggins. So I've been fortunate to work with a lot of good people, and you know, and I just try to, you know, bring the noise back to Public Enemy every time I get a chance.
What was it like getting into the character that you played in Higher Learning?
Higher Learning. That was a lot of fun. And people are like, what do you mean that was fun? That character, it was fun because it was very challenging. It was very different from myself. And being on that set was a lot of fun. You know, it was a lot of excitement on that set. John Singleton and Ice Cube, you know, when he was like so, you know, like in his thing, and Busta Rhymes and Regina King and Omar Epps. And a story about Higher Learning is that the cast was originally supposed to be Tupac playing the Omar Epps part, and Leonardo DiCaprio was going to play my part, and I was going to play the part that Cole Hauser played. And then Tupac got arrested, and he couldn't play the part, and they couldn't fund the film or something like that. So that was a fun set. It was a really fun set, and it was a cool time, and, you know, it was exciting. It was exciting to be a part of. The night after I was there for, the question was, what did I do after I saw Tupac and Snoop meet, which was something that I was there. I saw that happen for the first time. I didn't do anything the night after, but I remember like seeing it at the Poetic Justice rap party I was at, Snoop was Snoop, and he had just come out with Deep Cover, and I had just wound up meeting him, and you know, I told him like, yo, we love you in New York, and he was like, really, really, you know, and I was like, yeah, and he was like, I never even been to New York, and I was like, holy [S2] Wow. [S1] Shit, and then I saw him and Snoop, I saw Tupac and Snoop like meet each other, and then they were like battling, and it was like sort of tense, and then as the story goes, as I found out when I was telling this story to Snoop, then Snoop and Tupac went back and smoked weed, and that was the first time Snoop ever smoked a blunt. So, which in my opinion should be a national holiday.
Word.
Because that's like the first night that Snoop Dogg, which is weird, again, bringing it back to Vegas, because one of the things I realized in Vegas is weed is not legalized, yet you could get
a tuck job for $5.
Don't understand that.
Weed
is not legalized, but you could go
and get a tug job
for $5 or $7.50 if you want. It's too cheap. Don't go that low. If you're ever going to get a tug job, it's time to spend more than you could get away with.
Were.
Just because it's $5 doesn't mean you're not going to regret it. I feel like you're going to have regrets.
A tug job shouldn't cost like a Slurpee.
Right. You should, like a venti frappuccino shouldn't cost more than a tug job.
Than a tug job.
So don't go cheap on the tug job. Let me take a couple more questions and then
Between Nas and Jay-Z, that battle, who do you guys think won that battle?
I'll let you
Nas. In. Nas. Them lines was truthful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like a tie. I think it was like a 15-round fight. Like, so, I mean, I thought it was... It's hard to say, but I feel like at the end of the day, Nas
won.
Nas accomplished what he wanted to accomplish at the time, and I think hip-hop... You know, when it's done and it's not taken to another level of violence and personal, like to me, like I don't understand why Kanye West, who I think is tremendously talented, why no one is going at him. Because the thing about the Nas battle and the Jay-Z one is like the dynamic of hip hop was so in Jay-Z's favor. And Nas was like, nah, you know, not one person is bigger than this whole thing. And right now I feel like, you know, that sort of mentality has gotten lost.
Yeah.
And sort of healthy, you know, sort of going at each other. Obviously, the Biggie and Tupac thing stopped it because, you know, things could get out of hand so quick. So, I mean, I would say, I guess Nas won, but it wasn't like by a knockout. Yeah. It was a close fight. I mean, those two guys are the best. It's funny because now they do songs together, but I don't feel like they've made a great song together yet.
Yeah.
They've, you know, they're like, so I would love to see them. You know, with hip hop, I feel like, you know, jazz artists, you know, to have like Duke Ellington and John Coltrane, they would get together and they'd bang out an album. Like, I wish, you know, hip hop would just do that kind of thing where you're like, yo, you know what? We're just going to make 8 songs over a week and whatever it's going to be, it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, so there's so much money involved now. But I mean, can you imagine a Jay-Z and Nas album? I mean, Kanye and Jay-Z, they did it and that was very good. But I feel like, you know, if it was like Jay-Z and Nas, or like even 3 people, like Jay-Z, Nas, and Q-Tip, you know, or I just would love that as a fan. I think it would be, I just think it would bring so much life to the music. The question is, what new hip hop? There's not much. I mean, there's a few people, but I'm not like. I don't fall in love. Like, you know, well, like we talk about the Illmatic album or the Nation. Yeah. Like these are records where like they were made with so much desperation. You know, like when you had a record deal like at this time, and it's not like that time was better than this time, whatever, but like that was your shot. Like you could feel the like, this is my shot on Illmatic. Like this is everything I have. And, you know, he was like 17, 18, 19 years old. He goes, this is all that these 19 years of experience are in this first record.
Yeah.
And you feel it. And there's something very personal about it. And that's why it's so effective. And I feel like, you know, when great pieces of art, unlike this performance you're seeing tonight. When you have to expose yourself, you have to give a piece of yourself. You have to leave a piece of yourself behind. So that's, I think, is the difference.
We didn't answer his question.
I answered. What was the question?
Who you like today?
I don't love anybody, but there's people that I like. I like the Joel Ortiz's and the Joey Badasses.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys. So,
but Fat Joe.
Yeah, Fat Joe. We like Fat Joe.
I'm all the way up.
Yeah, that's a good song. So, you know, it's different. It's different now. It's just a different time. I'll answer one more question. Then, you know, we're going to hang around for a meet. I have a few more questions. What's the question?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, it makes me want to say, fuck you, I'll stay in the league. Oh. Oh, I appreciate that so much. Yeah, so the Stern League, you know, because my shit talking got the better of them. And it's really because I started winning. If I hadn't been winning the way I'm winning right now.
Are you winning?
I'm winning. I'm in second place. Now, I lost my game tonight, but in the league, I am winning.
All right.
Now, but a true shit talker has to be able to shit talk when you're on your hands and knees after a loss. Now, Scott, the engineer, he never partakes. He's a low key dude. And I know who to mess around with. And the thing about the Howard Stern show is that it is a show. It's a show. It's not the Howard Stern reality world. It's the Howard Stern show. And the character that Gary Delabonte plays, which is Baba Booey, his whole purpose, it's like a, is to fucking ream him and to bang on him. So when it comes to fantasy football, how am I going to let a guy like Baba Booey get by? And he's beat me up until this year because I broke the curse of the monkey. So I love the fantasy football, and I love that you guys love the banter within the Howard Stern Show. It's just a lot of fun. So, but yes, them wanting to kick me out makes me even go harder. And next week, if you guys are real Stern fans and Twitter participants, and you want to break balls, don't say that I told you. But if you want to participate in it, and you really want to sort of stir the pot, I'm playing Matthew Berry from the ESPN.
Yo.
So even if you're not involved with it, if you send out tweets and all that shit, like, and just like Rappaport's going to fucking, you could even start tonight because the game, you know, once Sunday ends, you know, because I'm coming at him for blood.
Hard body.
Yes. So I'm playing him next week. And that's like, so like Scott, I know like he's not going to engage. He's chill. Like last week I played Ben Bardo, who's like the engineer of the surgery. He doesn't, we bullshit around, but it's more like he doesn't take it personal. So it's fun. Like he'll mess with me. I'll mess with him. But Barry, he does not want to lose to Rappaport's Delight, a.k.a. that thing's big, a.k.a. make it stop. So if you wanna antagonize, if you get off on that like I do, and I feel like you do, start sending those tweets out to Matthew Berry of ESPN, not Matt Barry of ESPN. How fucked up is it that your name is Matthew Berry, and then along comes some young, handsome other reporter on ESPN, and his name is Matt Barry? But it's pronounced Matt Berry. So there's two Matt Berries there. That's got to fucking hurt. And then we're going to get in his head this week and take him down next
week. Fuck him up.
Yeah. So, like, there's certain people that I get hyped to play. And he's the one. Oh, fuck, J.D. Harmeyer, yeah. But like, he's another one. He's so beat down in life that he's used to losing, so. So Barry next week. See, I didn't want to get fussy. I could go on like a whole tale. Like I'll like
money right there.
Yeah. The best every down back in football right now, man. That's a good question. Elliot. Well, it's got to be Le'Veon. Le'Veon Bell. Even though he likes to get high, he's also the best MC in football.
Elliot. No. Ezekiel.
Ezekiel's really good, but
he had his stomach out at the draft.
Yes. Ezekiel Elliott. Yes. Who am I forgetting? David Johnson? He's really good, too. I mean, there's like, you can't say one's better. I mean, there's like three or four guys. So I would say David Johnson.
Le'Veon.
Ezekiel. But yeah. Ezekiel's not a sort of a... He's a rookie.
But he's nice, though.
And we gotta see how it pans out because we forget. It was just a few months ago that he came to the draft.
With his stomach out.
Yeah.
LeSean
McCoy, Shady, he kicked ass today, so.
He don't want to be gendered. Remember.
The rookie. Tony Romo shut it down. You should only take epidurals when you're having babies.
Word.
A quarterback should not be allowed to play. They want to do safety. If you need to get an epidural to take some snaps playing football, that should be illegal.
Yeah.
I want to play so bad that I can't feel from my neck down. No.
Yeah.
You need to sit your ass down.
Hell yeah. For sure.
And I don't know where Jessica Simpson is, but she needs to intervene. Like, stop. Stop. Enough is enough. You're 36. It's not like Tony Romo's like, I'm going to come back and we're going to do what we did when. You never took him to the promised land.
You never won.
You just
won.
Had a broken back and you want to come back and play? Just stop.
You're a team guy. Let that man do his thing.
They're winning. Just stop. I think Colin Cowherd, he played good today. I didn't see the game, so I couldn't tell, but I heard he played well.
They threw a bottle at him.
Yeah, they threw a bottle at him.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about this. They threw a bottle at him. There was T-shirts there with, like, his face on a target for...
crosshairs and this shit.
I mean, you know, like, this is insane.
Yeah.
This is insane. That's insane that somebody, you know, like we sell soft-ass Ian Rapoport T-shirts. It takes a lot to, like, get the T-shirts, to make the T-shirts, to design the T-shirts. And somebody is so fucking nuts in this day and age. Not insane, that's a reason. Huh? No, that's beyond that. To go out of your way, like, you got to think about it. Like, When we put together the soft ass I Am Rapport Stereo podcast t-shirts, it's like a whole process. Like, you got to get the design, and then, you know, they'll say, well, this one's $2 less, but it's not as soft. And I go, oh, no. Well, that's, we only sell soft ass I Am Rapport Stereo podcast t-shirts.
That's for sure.
Now, I know that the person that made these Kaepernick t-shirts, he doesn't care about the quality of the t-shirts.
He just likes the crosshairs.
Right. He just wants to kill Colin Kaepernick but what he's doing is provoking well-needed conversation about the flaws in this country.
Right.
Not to get too heavy, but as far as Cap playing, I didn't get to see it. I know he did well. They lost, so it doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
You know, they got their asses kicked by the Buffalo Bills, by the Ryan brothers, who are probably now in Panama hanging out with the Van Gundy brothers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like the part of that group now is the Bennett brothers. Like, what would you do to go on a cruise with the Ryan brothers, the Van Gundy boys, and the Bennett brothers steering the show? That would be like a party cruise to go on.
In the BX.
Let me do one more question. And like I said, you know, we're going to...
Money right there.
Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole? I think Kendrick. Is that a real conversation?
Yeah. Kendrick. Just say Kendrick and move on.
No, but I like J. Cole.
He's all right.
But he's got some shit.
He got some shit, but Kendrick, B.
Okay, I'll do. Okay, what's another one?
Another question.
All right, another one. What?
Based on everything that's in the news, the lawsuit, your boy Derrick Rose, your new Nick, is his buck style too buck wild?
Yo, let me tell you something.
Innocent of what?
Listen. Me and G Monetti, okay, I'll just use us as an example. We've been friends since we're 12, before we even started messing around with girls.
Before we had pubic hairs.
I don't know what you had. I had pubic hairs then. But
I was late, motherfucker.
We've done a lot of different things together. We've eaten, played ball, we've traveled, we've done this, we've that. We've never even thought about being with the same woman at the same time.
Yeah, fuck
now,
all that.
I don't care if anybody has done that. That's your thing. I know that's like a thing people like to get down like that. But if you're Derrick Rose and you're in the NBA, why are you having sex with your homeboys?
Word.
This is not like, you know, you're not going to like a salad bar.
Word.
Like, to me, that's just too far out. Like, also, like, that's something that, like, when you're young, like me. But, like, yo, you're in the NBA. Like, what are you doing, man?
You got a lot to lose, man.
And his homeboy is the guy that runs his company. So the first guy that needs to get fired that's part of that freak-off, that essentially that gangbang, is the guy that runs his company that's in there. And he said his main job was to...
To keep Derrick Rose on point.
He didn't keep him on point.
And
so you're fired. Yeah, you're fired.
You're not... I'm not on point if I'm in court.
That's not like, you know, my friends and my family. He's got to wake up one day and be like, you're the head of Derrick Rose Entertainment, and we had sex with the same girl together, and this happened on your watch. You're fired, asshole.
Absolutely.
Like, wait, you don't tell me it's the last question.
Motherfucker.
Wait, hold the fuck up.
Motherfucker, you're not performing, motherfucker.
It's not an interview.
You're not performing, Jack.
All right, MLB, I have nothing.
We don't fuck with baseball.
I want Chicago to lose because I just feel like they won't know what to do if they win.
Yeah, 1908. Y'all losers, man.
My prediction for the NBA championship is the Golden State Warriors. I think they're going to pull it out.
Go Suns!
You're not winning the championship.
Suns.
Go Suns, too. They have seven guys that played for Calipari, that snake oil salesman. You're not winning shit.
Cory Booker. What's
Corey
that motherfucker?
Booker.
No, what's his name? Corey. That motherfucker's 16 years old.
What's his name?
Booker.
Yo, I like him.
Yeah, he's nice, though.
He's
nice.
Great. He couldn't even get in here.
Yeah.
We tried to invite him. He said, I can't get in. They serve drinks.
The word.
So my Moody, who do you think for the NBA championship?
Cleveland again.
Okay. For the Super Bowl... I feel like it's gonna be
Giants. I got the Giants.
Giants ain't winning shit, man.
Odell.
Oh. How did we not talk about Odell?
Odell gonna come out the closet and we gonna win. Watch what I tell you.
I think the Patriots are going to win. Or the Vikings.
Patriots beat... Patriots cheat.
We're not... I'm so done with the goddamn Deflategate and the Boston and the Tom Brady.
He's a cheating fuck.
But they're good. So I think either or. But it's all injury-based. I think the Vikings... Denver is still... I mean, it's going to be... It's good. They're tough.
Nah, B.
The Vikings are tough. I'm going to take one more... Somebody give me a good question and we'll shut it down. Is it a good question?
I think so.
Okay.
All right.
Beastie Boys or Eminem?
Eminem, motherfucker.
Well, it's hard to compare because one's a group. You're saying as far as quality, like Rhymesmith.
Yeah.
But Eminem. I can listen to... I'll say this. I think Eminem is one of the greatest rappers, but I would rather listen to the Beastie Boys' Best Of catalog. I feel like Eminem's songs, in terms of the beats that he's chosen... To me, and I say I could say he's one of the best rappers, but
skill.
It's like you could say like Ornette Coleman, right? He's a great, but I don't necessarily want to listen to it. You know what I mean? So for me, I'd rather listen to 20 Beastie Boy records than 20 Eminem records.
I can't fuck with you, Duke.
I hear you. All right, yo, this is the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. We're going to hang out.
Yeah,
I appreciate it so much that you guys came. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right.